I want to take a minute to do a couple things. One, I want to welcome the youth who have joined us. So they're in the back, the senior and junior high. So you guys come on in and find a seat whenever you've completely consumed like locusts all the food on the back table. Secondly, I wanted to do a quick thing. I wanted to just say up front and initially just thank you to all the people that have put this on. And I just want to say it's taken a huge number of people. And I just real quickly like to ask if anyone has had some role in helping this thing happen this weekend, volunteer, paid, whatever, would you stand for a minute? I just like anyone who's had a role in helping, please, everyone stand up. And they're all on the edges. This was obviously a lot of work, and I just want to express my real appreciation and thanks and on behalf of the community for everyone who helped to make it happen. I also wanted to welcome any of those and all of those who are here this morning who are joining us who were not here last night. Would you stand if you're new and you're here this morning so we could identify who are the folks that are with us this morning? Awesome. One of the things I just wanted to let you know is there's a little letter on your name tag. Sorry, I don't have my name tag. What happened there? Should always wear your name tag. And on that letter, there's the tribe. And I for those of you, can we kill this spot? Do we need that on to see me? Is there any way to kill that light? Otherwise, I think my retinas will burn out by the end of this thing. So, if that letter refers to one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and what I explained last night was that we had a great time sort of learning a little bit more about each other and sort of imagining what it was like for a community like this to be in these 12 tribes and to kind of prepare these rocks that you'll see that we'll use tomorrow at the end of our time. But one of the main reasons that we did that too is realizing that as we are a growing and changing community, we wanted to create a group of people where, at least in that, you could get to know a few new people this weekend. And so hopefully at some point over a meal or in free time, knowing who some of the people are in your group, in your tribe. And for those of you that are visiting, you can tell whatever letter you have, it's on the wall over here. And for the folks who stood, I just encourage us to welcome them as they've joined us today. Okay. There's a cry from the people, so. What? Ah, yes. And those of you who come this morning, you need to come over and there are pens here and whatever your tribe is, you need to write your name on the box. Because that is a way that you are part of that tribe. So if you could do that sometime this morning, that would be great. Well, I wanted to, we're obviously getting into the kind of completing our story. Do we need to create any room for the folks who visit? There's also some seats over here if your people are looking for seats. Is there anyone looking for a seat? We all good? Okay. Let me do something. I want to start also by just telling you, maybe, how many of you noticed when you came in that there's rocks on the tables on the sides? Anybody see those? Oh, wow, very observant. What those rocks are for and what we want to do with them this weekend is they're meant to be a representation of us as individuals. And obviously, one of the things that's interesting about this is that we are both individuals and yet part of a community. And we want to have something that will remind us, that can be a memorial, in the way that the rocks were when they crossed the Jordan for the people of Israel, but also for us as a community. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is at the end or sometime today, we're going to, like as I mentioned, we're going to have some reflection time. It could be during that or during the afternoon, to come and take one of the rocks and put your name on it. Now, their rocks are evenly distributed among the tribes, but all the tribes are not the same size. So if you come in your tribe, the rocks have run out, it doesn't mean you're no longer a part of the tribe, right? It's not survivor. So what it means is you go to another table, get a rock, put your name on it with a Sharpie, and then go back and put it on the table where your tribe is. Does that make sense? And the whole, and we're going to actually have something that we're going to invite people to do with those rocks later. And then you'll be able to take them home at the end of the time. And I hope you can lift them because they're, some are really big. Okay. So the other thing is if God gives you a word or if you're listening and looking to receive from God at some point during this, weekend, I want to encourage you to consider putting that word or whatever it is on the back of that rock, as a way to remember and memorialize even what God is doing. So this is hopefully to create for us a sense of hope and longing, maybe even a desire and expectation for God to speak and to record that and to memorialize that. Well, as you're all aware, we're looking at the book of Joshua. That's been pretty clear, I think, by this point. And as Liz mentioned 2 weeks ago in church, Joshua had told his leaders to prepare to cross the Jordan in 3 days. And during those 3 days, Joshua, we have that interlude where Joshua sends out the spies and they find out what's going on in Jericho. And evidently they come back sometime within that period, and that's the story of Rahab. And then at this very time, the nation of Israel, why that's happening, the nation of Israel is moving closer and closer to this river, the River Jordan. And they know what's going to happen, right? I mean, there's why are we moving towards the River Jordan? And but they know there's a history, there's a folklore. They know what sort of has gone on before and they know what's coming, but they don't know how. And so what happens is Joshua moves them right from this town of Shittim right next to the edge of the Jordan. And these are the final orders that are given to prepare them for crossing the Jordan. Let me read this for you. Early in the morning, Joshua rose. Oh, sorry. It's on the screen. It's also, by the way, in your little book, in the little, if you want to have that to either reflect on or take notes, it's in your pamphlet that you got here. Sorry. Here's the passage. Early in the morning, Joshua rose and set out from Shittim with all the Israelites, and they came to Jordan. They camped there before crossing over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place. Follow it so that you may know the way you should go, for you've not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." To the priest, Joshua said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass in front of the people." So they took up the Ark, of the Covenant and went in front of the people. So first, the thing I want to say is the officers went through the camp telling people what to do when they saw the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, as a reminder, is this ornate box that held the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And on that, it had rings on the side and they had poles that went through it, and they carried this. This was the representation and the symbol of God's presence with them. And he told them to follow it, to sort of go along with it, but follow at a distance. And that 2,000 cubits, it's about half a mile. It's about 2,800 feet. And it's interesting that they add to the people this line, "So that they would know the way they should go, for they have not passed this way before." Now this is very true. They've come right up to this point before. If we remember that what happened when in Numbers 13 and 14, they came right up to being able to go into the promised land. They got right to the edge. They sent the spies. The report came back good. But some of the guys who went were freaked out because the people in the land were huge. And so the people lost heart. They gave up and they spent the next 40 years wandering in the desert. They've been right up to the door. They were right there and they just had to walk in, but they couldn't do it. So it's true. They haven't been this way before. It's new territory. This is the new chance to walk in to this thing that God has promised them and has for them. And as I was reflecting on this weekend, I realized that this is significant for us as well as a church, because we have not been this way before. This very weekend itself is a new thing. A lot of people have commented on that. This church, it's 25 years old, but this is its first all-church weekend, at least that everyone I've talked to can remember. This is a first for everyone. So all of us who are here are doing it for the first time in this body. And we've had plenty of retreats. It's not that we don't like retreats. We've had men's retreats and women's retreats and other, but the first time we've done it with all of us together. And in addition, and similar to Joshua, there's a new leader. This church, for those of you who didn't know, only had one lead pastor for 23 years. And then for the last 3 years, there's been another, me. We're also now a multi-generational church with lots of people with singles, with empty nesters, those established in their career, those working at a full-time job for the first time, newly married, parents of high schoolers, those thinking about retirement, those deciding on a career. We span the globe. We are a maturing and a new, a different church than we were 20 years ago. And it's the same for the nation of Israel. They're a very different church than they were 40 years earlier. Remember, most of the people that are now here on the verge of crossing over of the Jordan were not alive at that moment. It's 40 years later. Many have passed on. Many don't remember it. I'm sure they've heard the stories, which is interesting even in of itself, right? When you think about who we are even as a movement. Some of you know about the Vineyard, haven't experienced it, and the Vineyard has some incredible stories, right? I mean, people talk about back in the day, you know, or some people have even been to, you know, what was the center of all this, Anaheim, right? But very few people, and that's where the Vineyard sort of started in Southern California and Orange County, and I actually got to go there. You know, it feels like I'm talking about Jerusalem. But for the Vineyard, it kind of is. But so many of you here in the room haven't been there, haven't experienced some of those things. This is new ground. It's a place that many haven't been before. It's a new time for all of us as a church and as individuals. And we're being invited by God to step into this new time in the same way that he invited the nation of Israel. He's asking us to follow him, his presence. I think what's significant about this is that it can't look like it looked before. Because it's a different time and it's a different group of people. But it is the same God. And he wants to glorify himself. He's going to work and he's about to do something amazing for the nation of Israel that they have longed for literally centuries, right? I mean, they were in slavery for 400 years. This promise had been given to Abraham centuries before and now it's about to be realized. God is inviting us to follow him, to trust him for that. Regardless of whether we've experienced tremendous things in the past or not, we don't really relate to that. We didn't get to have that experience that some of the other folks talked about, even in this church or in this movement. But that God himself is inviting us to follow him into a new experience of that. The second thing that Joshua then, he directs and commands his people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now the word sanctify there, it means to consecrate or set apart, to dedicate and to prepare. Now this made me wonder, what exactly does Joshua have in mind? Right? He gets them right there and then he says prepare. Now immediately, right, you can go to the logistics. There's probably lots to prepare to get 2 million people to move across a river. But he tells them to sanctify themselves personally, as individuals, maybe as families, as groups. Well, obviously they know what's going to happen. Right? They've come right up to the edge of the river. They know something's going to happen. As I said, they don't know how. And initially, they have the collective memory of all the stories of, it's so funny, even like us, right? I mean, the stories of things. People have heard and told throughout. Want to hear about the time we crossed the Red Sea? No, Dad, you've told that 40 times. I know that story. But I think actually they love to hear the story because it reminds them of God's power and all that God has done. When God sort of took them through the ocean and then, right, the Egyptians followed in after them. The sea closed in. Their enemies were vanquished. God's power was demonstrated. and his faithfulness to them. Well, I could think of a few options of what he's asking them to do in sanctifying themselves. One would be just ceremonially go into the river and clean yourself. That would be true with Old Testament rules and laws and things to go in and actually, that may be part of it. Of course, it's hard to imagine what that would look like for 2 million people to do. And you got to remember, the Jordan here is not like the Red Sea. The Jordan's about 100 feet across and about 20 feet deep. So it's a kind of a different scale, right, than the Red Sea. But it also could mean go and ready yourself for the trip, get your affairs in order, right, pack up your tent. We're about to go. So load up the wagon. This is the practical option. The third option would be go and ready your hearts to receive what God is going to do for you, because he's not only going to part the waters and make a miraculous sign of his power, but he's also going to lead you into the promised land. But the interesting thing about the promised land is they don't just walk in. It's not like walking into a place where the house has been sold and it's empty and it's ready for you. No, you go to the house and there's people living in it. And there's going to have to be more to come, more ways for them to trust and put their hope in him when they go into the promised land, that he's going to be true to his promises and move the inhabitants so they can have the land. See, what is about to happen is like truly momentous. The wonders they are about to experience, while including the momentous parting of the Red Sea, of the Jordan, includes the fulfillment of the promise originally made to Abraham. This is a holy moment set apart in all history. This is the moment where the nation of Israel gets to experience what God has promised to their forefathers. Imagine how much they would yearn for this. I don't know. Is there something that you have yearned for or longed for a long time? It's obviously going to be relative to how old you are, but what a long time is. But have you ever yearned for something that hasn't happened yet? Something you carry now, even something you want to have happen. For me, I always go to my son Joshua and I think about his healing. Something I yearn for, you long for. Imagine how much these people have yearned and longed to finally settle down. Slaves for 400 years, wandering in the desert. They wander for 5 and they get their chance to go into the promised land. Oops, they blow it. They're back into the wilderness. 40 years. It's hard to imagine how the longing, the desperation, and imagine what those 40 years must have been like. I mean, imagine the disagreements they must have had. This is 2 million people, right? In 40 years, they got to have some fights along the way. There has to be some complications. People have to be bummed about something, right? This must have been a very, very difficult time. And can you imagine? I mean, maybe you even have that longing. Some of you I know travel a lot for work, that desire to just be home. To settle in. This is what's happening for an entire nation. Well, this is all in the past now because they're about to enter the promised land and they will do it in a fashion that will demonstrate the power and the presence of God. That he is with them and that he keeps his promise and he has unlimited power. Now, this is such a powerful motivation because after all these years, they're going to stop wandering and really settle down in one place. They're going to get to plant crops. Do you realize for all these years, the way they've been eating is the food has been dropping from the sky. That's so weird, right? That's going to stop. They're going to actually get to interact with the earth, to plant, to grow, to call a place home, to fully engage in where they live. They're going to stop living out of suitcases. They're going to stop wandering. Joshua is calling them to whatever it takes for them to prepare. Now, my imagination is, individually, for some of them, preparing is going to mean repentance. For some of them, they have probably long since believed that God is not going to keep his promise. That God is just jerking them around, that he's just they're wandering through the desert, and they're never going to get there, and they need to ask God's forgiveness for having given up, becoming cynical and depressed. That it's just never going to get there. For some, it may mean choosing to engage in the future God has given them. For some of them, right, they've been kind of going along, and then, you know, they've never known anything different. They were born in this wilderness. God's been just, hey, they're just making a life for themselves. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what's out there, and I'm not even concerning myself with that. I'm just going to make a life for myself and keep moving day to day. And they may need to decide to push in and engage God and actually hope for more and long for more and figure out how God even factors into the equation. You know, it's sort of like those days or those times where you can kind of get going and God doesn't actually factor into your day. You ever get to the end of a day and I haven't thought about God once in anything that I've done. For some, it may mean praising God that their prayers have been answered. Those who've been praying and hoping and longing for God to deliver them are finally going to see what they've hoped for. There is a call to set yourself apart for celebration and worship. Perhaps you can imagine some other way to sanctify yourself, to consecrate yourself, to prepare yourself for what God is going to do. What I want us to turn our attention to for just a few more minutes is that what is it God's call for us to sanctify ourselves as a community here in the Vineyard? Well, I believe that we as a group or a body are a church on the verge of a new chapter of our life together, and that God is asking each of us to prepare ourselves. We're here as a community, but we're also a collection of individuals, and each of us, as we move into the new thing that God has for us, has to sanctify ourselves. Now, although I wish and was praying for, God has not told me that he's going to do some supernatural wonder, you know, geographically here, you know, or like create a big chasm in the middle of camp or something. But I do believe that God is going to demonstrate his presence and power to us as we move forward as a community. I believe he's going to do that. I'm praying and expecting and looking for God to do that for us, even as a community tonight, as we talk about the actual crossing and what it looks like to cross. I mentioned earlier that this church was planted with a promise from God that he was going to give the founding pastor, a man named Mark Pedersen, a park. Mark had a vision, a picture that God was going to give him a park. And that's the picture or the promise that he was given that planted this church. And God was faithful to plant and grow this church from the mid-80s until now. And the sign of that is clearly demonstrated even by those in this room. But for those of you who don't know the full history, and there's lots to it, and I'm not giving it this morning, but there was a significant event that happened in 1999 when the pastor's wife, Gail Pedersen, actually fell and hit her head. And she went into a sustained period of physical disability. And this had a huge impact on the church. For many in the church, much of the first 10 years of the 2000s felt like a wilderness. Some of you are very aware of that, even as I say that. Others of you are unaware of that. We're not affected by that. Much like I would imagine the nation of Israel, where there were things going on that were deeply, deeply kind of affecting the community, and some were aware and some weren't. There were good things that were happening, but there were also some very difficult things. And I believe God has been doing a good work in preparing us over the last 3 years, and maybe more, but at least as I've been trying to lead and be the lead pastor, to move into a future that God has for us as a group, as a community. There's been some good healing, there's been lots of new life, and there have been new people joining or adding to this community in the last few years. I'm just curious, I'd like to ask, if you have just started coming to the Vineyard in the last 3 years, because what strikes me about this is this whole thing about not even being always connected with what's happened in the past is happening for us. That there's some here, and I find this hard for me to even imagine, who don't know, haven't even met or haven't seen Mark and Gail Pedersen. It's kind of hard to... But if you started coming in the last 3 years, could you just stand? I'd be curious. If you just started coming in the last 3 years, could you stand? These are folks who, by my recollection and by most of them, never met Mark and Gail. Here's a huge, you can sit now, thank you. Here's a huge part of, a big section of our body, or, and they haven't actually physically connected with that history. And that's how life works, right? I mean, all of a sudden there's a history that we remember, and there's part of us who remember it and remember it vividly. And there's others of us who don't remember or don't, haven't seen it at all. But we are at a place now where we're beginning to make a new history. And we stand on the banks of the Jordan this weekend and as a community. Now, what will the crossing of the Jordan be for us? I don't know. Is it this weekend? Is it something God's going to do supernaturally for us as a community? Is it a collection of what God does for us as individuals? What will it look like to move into the new land together? Because remember, the crossing of the Jordan is only the beginning. It's not the end. I appreciated that base analogy, or the picture of the bases, right? Getting to first, either for the individual or for the community, it is not the goal. No baseball player says, man, I hope I get a single. You know? It's like, well, how about a double? No. I just want a single. I just want to get on first base. That's the goal. And it's not. It's to score. And the question is, how will God demonstrate his power and presence to us as a community going forward? Well, I'm asking those questions of God too. What is clear to me this morning is that two things. We're entering into a new season as a church, and that all of us are being called to sanctify ourselves for what lies ahead. So, what do you need to do to prepare yourself for what is to come? What does it look like to sanctify yourself? I remember when I was leading a community a while ago in college ministry, we had a weekend conference, much like this. I'm sorry. Is this light important? Is that why we turned it on? Is it? Does it help you out there? Because it's driving me insane. Thank you. I don't know how it came on. It's the miracle. All right, so is this okay? Can you see me, or am I a giant silhouette? Maybe that's preferable. I don't know. So, and I was leading this community, and unlike this and our accommodations here, we were young and we slept on the floor. Ah, I remember the days fondly. Not so fondly, actually. And we were at this conference, and a good trusted friend of mine was leading the ministry, and he gave a talk on forgiveness and reconciliation. And at the end of it, we had a word that the staff, who were the non-student leaders of the group, should come up front. And I think my friend had the idea that people who had held something against us or had been hurt by us or whatever, that they would come and share with us. Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, but I'm young, right? So I think to myself, oh, there'll just be a few, right? You know, I'm thinking, ah, it's only going to be a couple people. Okay, so we come up there, and the staff all stand there, and then my friend invites the students to come up and share, because as really a removal of a block for them too, as right, because they had held something. There's some way that they had got it stuck in their craw about something we had done. Many of the times true, you know, mistakes we'd made. Other times just their perception. And then they, like, almost the whole room stood up. And my partner and I, Doug, who was my co-leader, we stood there. There was at least 30 people in line for each of us. Now, we had a couple other intern staff, and there was nobody for them, so we realized who was the bigger problem. But the experience was really amazing, and it went on for a long time. And I got to tell you, there was something deeply spiritually powerful in having the folks come up and confess the ways that they had held something against us as leaders, and for us to be able to say, we forgive you. And for us to say, have we sinned against you? And for us to be able to say, will you forgive us? And have them say they forgave us. I cannot tell you what happened that night in our fellowship. It was an amazing thing. I think I felt like warmth and connection and life was restored and emboldened and grew in our community that night. You can imagine it, right? Because something significant had happened, and for a lot of people, their trust and authority had been blocked, and it was affecting our ability to even move forward as a community. I think the other thing that happened that was really powerful was a number of the students for the first time saw the staff as human. And I don't think they really had that category. They thought, we don't make mistakes. And they saw, whoa, they make mistakes. But what they saw more importantly was that we were willing to repent and apologize and to work and to move forward. Because we, just like them, are children of God and we're trying to move forward as a community. I mean, one of the great things that I think we're going to have to embrace is that whatever God has for us and as we move forward in the future, it's still going to be work. Because we're still going to have to relate to each other. And when we relate to each other, things happen. Sometimes and oftentimes we have great times together like we're going to have today. Other times, things happen. And in the course of doing something or in ministry or just hanging around, we hurt each other's feelings. And we'll need to repair that. This time back in that college ministry time really brought some deep healing to our community. And one of the things that gives me most joy in this world right now is that that campus ministry at UCLA is still there and is still thriving 30 years later. I actually believe this was an important milestone in the life of that community. Because you know how it is. You can get to a point, people just sort of, that's it. This is the best it's going to be. Or people, you know, just keep moving on and just stop dealing or engaging with some of the things that happen. And then you just move on. But I think God has continued to lead that community forward. And I think he wants to do that for us as well. This was a major sanctifying moment for me in my leadership. It left a huge impression and is probably one of the major reasons that I led with that and has continued to hold that value so highly in coming into this role. I believe God wants our sanctifying of ourselves to be that real and to have that kind of impact on our body. So we need to take some time to explore what it means for each of us to sanctify ourselves before crossing the Jordan. And that's what we're going to give some time for this morning. In a few minutes, I'm going to release you to have some time for that. But let me sort of prime the pump or begin to give you some things to think about. Obviously, from my last story, do you need to forgive someone? You know, the scripture's pretty clear that forgiveness is central to the kingdom. And forgiveness is central to life with God. Even so much so that the scripture says if you're standing, you know, if you're worshiping or whatever, and you know someone has something against you or there's an issue, go and resolve it. And I would just encourage us even today to resolve those things, to take steps to address any of those if they exist with people in this room or not. Calls we have to make. And to do that before we have worship tonight. Do you need to confess something to God or someone else? Do it. Do you need to reconcile with someone? I want to say, even if it is with me, I want to welcome you to do that. I want to invite you to do that. Whether during the reflection time or after the lunch, I'm going to actually be here in this room from 1 to 2 and to answer any and all questions or thoughts from this morning or even to talk if there's something that has been a block for you. Do you need to give Jesus a hurt from the past that you hold on to that blocks you from now trusting him and moving into the future? Do you need to ask God the plans he has for you and participate that to engage in this community? Is there a movement that needs to happen here for some where it's like, I come to church, I go to this, but actually God wants to invite you into a deeper engagement relationally and involved in participating in the life of the body? Do you need to be willing to submit your dreams and your hopes to God to hear what he would like you to do with your life? For long-time Vineyard folks, those who've been around for a long time, do you need to forgive a previous leader in order to trust anew? Do you need renewal, spiritual vitality? Do you need hope that life can be engaging again? That God has more than just the fond and exciting memories of the past? Do you need to re-engage in ministry and in finding ways to invest in others? For newer vineyard folks, do you see yourself, like I said, as a consumer, and God is asking you to become engaged or a participant in the community? I know that one of the things that's true, even for us where we live, is that this is a highly transient, or can be, and one of the cool things about our church is there's a lot of folks that have really put down roots here. But I know that there's a lot of you that may be newer or coming to the church, and you're not sure how long you're going to be here. And one of my challenges, my thoughts, is that for however long God calls us to be here, that we be fully engaged, that we give ourselves to the community and experience the blessing of God in that, so that even when we move and when God leads us to a new place, no matter where we are in our life, we're ready and we know how to engage in that community as well. God has obviously given us this time to be together, to come together, to invest in one another, to grow and to receive from God and knowing one another. All of us, do we need to be willing to give ourselves in new and sacrificial ways to see the kingdom break forth in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, and in the Silicon Valley? I do, there's some sense, and I heard this from other people, but that God is, what He's doing in us as a community is preparing us for even what God wants to do in blessing the area around us. Obviously, this looks different for us than it does for the nation of Israel. We're not going to go into the valley and kick people out of their homes. That's what happens in the Old Testament. They kick out all the old tribes. This is going to be a new time where actually we're inviting and welcoming people into the kingdom of God. Well, let me just give you a few ways to respond to this, and then I'll let you go. This morning, we've decided to take the time from 11 to 12 for personal reflection and application. Some of you may get a lot of that, some of you very little. And we figured, especially while the kids are enjoying kids' church and worshiping God, this will be a great moment for some personal time and reflection, especially for families, but for all of us. And I wanted to encourage you, there's three ways you can do this. You can spend some time alone. I have created a reflection tool that will be on the back table, and it just has some of the questions that I mentioned here. Perhaps you don't need that, but I wanted you to take some time to take a walk, to enjoy yourself, to be in this beautiful place, and to interact with God over this process of sanctifying yourself in preparation and engagement in what God is doing and what He's inviting you into and what He's doing in our church. Second, you can take a part or all of this next hour over in Arc 4, I think. We're going to have a discussion. Some of us would like to be alone for this time. Others of us might want to talk about this more, might want to have a discussion about this passage or what God's been doing in our lives. And so we're going to have a time, and Amanda Giles is going to be in Arc 5, to lead that or to facilitate a discussion. And finally, in this room, we're going to have time for those, you may already feel like God is bringing something up, bringing something to mind for you. We're going to have time for prayer ministry in here. And so I'm going to invite Katie up, and we're going to have some music playing for just at the end. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then I just want to invite you to leave silently after I pray. You could stay if you want and hang out for a few minutes and ask God how He wants you to spend the next hour, or you can leave. It's really up to you. Our next thing is lunch at 12 o'clock, and it'd be important for parents to get their children at 12, and we'll be together at lunch. But I want to encourage you, and especially there will be people for the prayer ministry time. There'll be people here to pray for you, some of the prayer ministry team. And for those of you who are newer or not as familiar with that, these folks are trained and ready to also keep confidentiality and to allow you to share what's on your heart and to be prayed for. And if you don't feel comfortable doing there, I do. If God is leading you to confess or share something, I pray that you would do that with somebody you trust or know, or a friend that's here with you this weekend. Are there any questions about that? The reflection guide, where is that going to be? It's on the table right back by the books. Or you can use whatever whatever tool you would like to use. Yeah.
Did Mark Peterson's wife get healed? I'm assuming that she did.
She is better. I don't know. I haven't heard that she is healed. If anyone knows differently, I've heard that she is much, much better. Maybe as it relates to that, I do encourage those of you as we're here this weekend, maybe as we interact with the people that are in our tribes or getting to know people, that one of the questions we ask is, what is your experience and your story in the church? I think as we tell those stories, God is in that with us and in our getting to know each other. So let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and show us and lead us what it means to sanctify ourselves for this next leg of the journey. Thankful that you know each one of us and where we're at. I pray that you would speak to us and we would hear your voice about what it means to prepare to move forward as individuals and as a community. Just welcome you into this time. Ask that you would be preparing us. We pray this in your name. Amen.